Okay, we are in the middle of Perek Chof Tes. We are up to Pasuk Tes Zayin. David HaMelech is continuing to give Shevach Vahidot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yesterday we learned David humbles himself by telling Hashem that and all of the wealth that we have accumulated is only because Hashem has granted us siyata d'shmaya. It's not humanly possible for a human being for a young nation like us to accumulate this enormous amount of wealth that we plan to use for the Beis HaMikdash, and it has only come to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is man? Man is nothing. Man is, his days are kitzel oiver, just as a shadow. The Rashi is shadow, not the shadow of a tree. That's a significant shadow, not the shadow of a bird, the shadow of a bee. A bee, the shadow that the wings of a bee cast is so insignificant, it's almost nothing. That's what man is relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein mikveh, there is no hope. Man has no hope. There's no hope. No one can expect to live forever. Now we come to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Hashem Elokeinu. Now this is a continuation of the theme from yesterday. Hashem Elokeinu. Kol hehomoin hazasher hachinoinu. All of this wealth. Hamoin refers to the enormous amount of wealth which we have prepared. Livnos luchavayis. L'shem kodshecha. Okay, this is, stop working. Sorry. All of the wealth which we have prepared to use, to build for you a bayis, for your holy name, miyadcha hu, has come to us from your hand, ulcha, and to you hakol. Same thing we expressed yesterday, that everything that Hashem gives man everything. And a man should not make a mistake and think that we're giving something to you, Hashem. We're only giving back to you what you have given us. A human being does not have the ability to accomplish anything on his own. Everything a human being accomplishes is through divine grace. So we're just giving back to you what you have given to us. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now, Pasuk Yud Zayin begins a collection of psukim, a few psukim, which according to Rashi is one continuous theme. We learn the psukim now according to Rashi, and then we'll go back and learn according to Mesudas, which appears to be a little bit different. V'yodati Elokai. David now, let me just tell you the idea outside. David is now about to make a statement. David says, there are two groups of people here who have given donations to the Beis HaMikdash. Me, okay, myself. I have given my own wealth, my own resource, an enormous amount of money. Number two, Klal Yisrael, everyone here in front of me, all of the leaders, all of the people, they've rejoiced in giving very large donations to the Beis HaMikdash. But the truth is, I really don't know how sincere the people are. Shocking statement. I am certain that I have given my gift with a full heart. I am 100% sincere in my desire to give my wealth to the Beis HaMikdash. But I can't be certain that everyone here feels the same. From the outside, it appears they are indeed very happy, they are rejoicing, they appear to be in a very good mood. But who knows, maybe deep down inside, they're upset. It hurts them to give away their hard-earned money, assets or wealth which have only come to them through risking their lives in war or through working hard. Who knows if the people are really sincere? And we know, and we all know from the Bali Musa, that when a person is not sincere, when you give tzedakah, there will not necessarily be siyata d'shmaya in what the money will be used for. That was one of the this really ties very well into the sugya of the Daf Yomi. Those who learned Daf Yomi learned this recently, the sugya of yechidim, individuals. If the Beis HaMikdash was allowed to accept donations from individuals, if, for example, if the mother of a kohen would sew or would prepare the garments for her son, a kohen, was that son allowed to wear those garments when he did avodah? Maybe, even though of course it's designed according to all the requirements of the Torah, maybe the clothing has to belong to the tzibur. The Kohanim serve as representatives of the tzibur. The clothing must be purchased from the funds of the tzibur. Who says the mother of this Kohen, when she donated the clothing, she gave it to the tzibur with a full heart? Maybe she's holding back. She retains partial ownership of the garments. Or maybe she's giving it to the Beis HaMikdash for an ulterior motive. It's not sincere. The other example of the Gemara is the Kohanim who gave wood. There were families who gave wood to the Beis HaMikdash, who says these families who gave wood for the Beis HaMikdash to be used as fuel for the Korbanos gave the wood with a full heart? Who says it was sincere? So the Gemara has discussions. Maybe yes, maybe not. Different opinions. Machlokes Tanaim, Rabbi Yosi, and the Rabbanan. The Gemara differentiates between Machshirim Mitzvah, Gufa Karban. So here as well, they're coming to build the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone, Klal Yisrael, is giving donations. The donations, in order for the Beis HaMikdash to be successful, for it to be built on, in order for it to be successful, it has to be with sincerity. I think there's a story with the Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner, when he made his yeshiva, obviously was very successful. And there was someone else at that time. He asked Rav Chaim Volozhin, "Why is it that when I made a yeshiva, it didn't last very long?" So he asked him, "Did you make a cornerstone ceremony, the laying of the cornerstone? Did you what did you do at the Chanukah Sabayis? So it's nothing. We had a party. We invited all of the politicians. We invited all of the rabbanim, and we had a festive suda, and we had speeches in Divrei Torah." He said, "That's why you're not matzliach. When we laid the foundation for Volozhin, the night before, I stayed up the whole night, being mispalo. The cement that was used to lay the cornerstone was kneaded with tears. We didn't use water. We used tears to knead, to mix the cement to lay the cornerstone." Hazoyrim bidima berina yiktsayru. If you seed with tears, berina with joy yiktsayru, you'll harvest. It has to be established with yirah shemayim, with sincerity. When we establish the yeshiva of Volozhin, we will mispalel with a full heart that it should be a place of Torah Kedusha. The only purpose of this yeshiva should be a ribuy of kavod shemayim. It shouldn't be for kavod, for parnasa, for political pull, and all these types of things why people today establish institutions. If it's 100% established Shem Shemayim, then you can be certain it will have a kiman and will accomplish great things. So that's what David is afraid. David here is afraid that we are building Beis HaMikdash. Everyone is giving money. I don't know what people are thinking. Who knows? Maybe they're not sincere. If they're not sincere, it's going to happen that the Mikdash will be Chor, which indeed it was. And in fact, that's exactly why Kadosh Baruch Hu told David, one of the reasons says the Mishnah, Hashem told David, you may not build the Beis HaMikdash, because if you build the Beis HaMikdash, it will be built with such pure sincerity that it's impossible for it to be destroyed. And then when the time will come when your children will sin, and I will need to bring upon them punishment, I'm not going to be able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is indestructible, because it's been built with such purity. What then will I do? I'll have no choice but to pour out my anger upon them. Upon Klal Yisrael, and Chas Yisrael, there may be no remnants of Klal Yisrael left after the Korban. Therefore, you do not build a Beis HaMikdash. Let the Beis HaMikdash be built by your son Shlomo and his generation, who are not as sincere, and therefore there'll be a weakness, there'll be a built-in weakness in the Beis HaMikdash. And when the time will come when I'll see in the future generations that they'll not be worthy anymore of the Beis HaMikdash, then I'll be able to pour my anger on the stones and wood, and not upon my children.
Aren't the concerns that David raised? We had a pasuk tes.
Yeah. So that's okay. So that's what over here these psukim are coming to pick up on, and they're coming to say it's the David's not. They one thing is for sure, they had tremendous joy. They donated their money with simcha. So from the outside, it certainly appeared they were 100% sincere. But according to Rashi, as we're going to see now, David is saying looks may be deceiving.
So Lev Shalom is not.
It says they had a full heart. That's what it appeared. That's what Rashi is coming to say right now. Let's read the psukim. It appears that they have a leif shalem. But David is concerned there may be some microscopic resentment or bad feeling that why should we have to give away our hard-earned money for this project which is not really necessary or maybe overdone, giving more than as we really need. Let's see what the words. I think 11 years. How many years into, does anyone know, into the Malchus of Shlomo? Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash I think, what, 11 years after he became Melech, was complete? Maybe it was 7 years? I don't remember the exact... Within approximately 10 years. Maybe it was 7 years, 8 years, 11 years. I forgot the exact number.
Wouldn't be a lot of questions?
Yes, but David made all the preparations in his lifetime. That's what we learned in the last few parakim. David in his lifetime, he collected an enormous amount of money. He donated and he inspired others to donate money, and they went to war to retrieve assets that would be necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. He prepared everything, and now he's about to die. These psukim are his last dying words. And then his son Shlomo is going to proceed. He will let the pasuk say, "Viodati, I know Elokai, ki ata bochein levav." You Hashem, you investigate a person's heart. Here it says levav two bases. Rashi will say in a moment. Of every person has a yetzer toiv and a yetzer hara. So you Hashem, you investigate a person. What is his motive? When a person does something, what is the driving force? Is it the yetzer toiv or is it the yetzer hara? Just because he gives money, maybe he's giving money for the Yetzer Hara. He wants covet, he wants honor, he wants to see his name, he wants a plaque. When you come into the Beis HaMikdash, everyone should see his name. What's the reason? So, it's a good thing, no question about it. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there is still a concern that a machshava ra for this project would lead to problems down the line. Okay, let's read a few psukim. You know, kiato boichein levav, you investigate man's heart. You investigate the heart of a man, both hearts, the yetzer tov, yetzer hara. And umeshorim tirtzeh, and you want, it is your desire to that a person should choose the yetzer tov. You want a person to be a yashar. Yashar, now in this, from Rashi, we'll see in a moment what it means. Yashar here doesn't just mean to b'charta b'chayim. You want there to be a synthesis. You want the yetzer hara to be merged, to be synthesized with the yetzer tov. Hashem created yetzer hara for a purpose. If there was no yetzer hara in this world, the world cannot exist. People need to have desires to do things, but those desires have to be channeled for good purposes. So when it says meisharim, according to Rashi, yashar is the synthesis of the yetzer toiv with the yetzer hara, where the yetzer toiv is in complete control, and the yetzer hara is being used, being channeled to accomplish the needs and the desires of the yetzer toiv. David goes further to say, "Ani, I are 100% certain." David was able to analyze himself, psychoanalysis. Ani b'yoysha levavi, I am certain that with the straightness, the yashrus of my heart, I've taken my yetzer tov, my yetzara, I've synthesized them, and they have been guided in the correct path of yosher. His nadavti, I have donated kol eile, everything that I have presented in front of you. And I am certain I'm okay. However, I can't speak for the rest of Klal Yisrael. I don't know what's in their hearts. The Atah now, Amcha, your people, Hanim Sufo, who are present here, Re'isi v'simcha, l'snadev lach, it appears, Re'isi, it appears from my eyes that they're very happy, that they are on the same page as me. They're with the program. They're also donating their wealth to the Beis HaMikdash with great simcha. Isi v'simcha l'snadi, I see that they have come with joy. They have arrived here with joy l'snadev lach. However, and let's go further, and let's continue. And this is wonderful. Let's not minimize this. Let's not minimize this. Now he goes on, he says this famous pasuk, which we say every single day in Rosh Hashanah Valetzion, Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yisrael Avoseinu, Hashem the Father, God of our forefathers, Avraham Yitzchak and Yisrael, our forefathers, Shomer Zos Li'olam, may you guard this forever. May you guard, may this be a zuchus for Klal Yisrael forever and ever. The fact that everyone has come forward and answered my call and have donated large donations to the Beis HaMikdash. However, now here's where Rashi comes in. I am now going to pray to you and make a request. After it says Shema Zos La'olam, we put a period according to Rashi. Now my tefillah begins. Li'yetzer machshavos levav amecha, with regard according to Rashi, the lamed has to be translated as with regard to the desire of the thoughts of their hearts. May it be, it's hard to translate these words, but after a little do one or two times, may it be v'hochein levavah milecha. May you see to it that they synthesize their yetzer hara with their yetzer tov, and they direct it towards your service with yosher, just like I have done today. I know what I'm doing. I have succeeded, but I can't speak for them. And it's good what they're doing. It appears ro'isi. It appears to be very good. And I'm not minimizing this. Halavai, halavai. This simcha should remain forever. Sharma zos liolam. But if there's any small microscopic imperfection in their desire that their yetzer hara is not synthesized with their yetzer tov, I am hereby mevakesh, I'm praying to you, Hashem, that you should grant Klal Yisrael the siyata d'shmaya, that the yetzer tov should prevail over the yetzer hara. Right? Isn't that the bakosh, the tefillah of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha? Just like we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that your rachamim should prevail over your anger, and so to your midah. We also ask from ourselves, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to guide us that our Yetzer Tov should prevail over our Yetzer Hara, and everything should be 100% directed. The word V'hochein means to direct, to prepare. Means to prepare, but in this context it means to prepare to go somewhere, to prepare to direct the Yetzer Tov to go in the direction of the Yetzer Hara, to go in the direction of the Yetzer Hara. This is what David here is saying. So you have to take this, according to Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches, the end of Pasuk Yud Ches, where it says, Lietzer, with regard to the desires of the thoughts of the hearts of the people, the heart of your people, which there's always a conflict. When someone does something, he's always being pulled in different directions. He wants to do it for the right reason, but he also wants to do something for the wrong reason, or not do something. I am asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to grant us siyat v'shmaya v'hochein, to direct levavam, their two hearts, their yetzer tov and their yetzer hara. May you guide them, may you direct them where they merge, where they come together for one purpose of serving you, just like I am serving you today with one heart, conquering my yetzer hara, having it serve the yetzer tov. Now let's see those words in the Rashi inside. It's a very hard Rashi. Let's see. Pasuk first. Tazayin one. L'Rashi Asher Hachinosi. Everything that we've given you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has come from you. We're just returning to you what you have given us. We're not giving you anything new. Nothing that we have is ours. Dugmas Asher Havi Onu. Similar to the expression we had before, to have brought. Here we're using the word prepared. In the past, we've used it which we have presented, which we have brought here to the, today. Pasuk Yud Zayin.
This is more of a technical
point. Yeah, that's a technical point. Right. This is literally right. He's just saying the word hachinonu is similar to the word havionu. Havionu means we have presented. This means we have prepared. Same idea. Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'yodati, I know. David HaMelech is making a very powerful statement. No one today can make such a statement. There's no one today that's such an expert in their mind, psychoanalysis, and they can say with certainty, I can tell you my intent. No one today is on a madriga like this, where you can say... What? Even you said a person thinks you're doing something for a certain reason. You think you're sincere. Are you really sincere? Can a person really testify about himself that he's 100% certain that he's doing it l'shem shemayim? No way. We all know that our minds are pulled in many different ways, and we can't make a true evaluation of ourselves.
Isn't this whole thing about the follow through? Will the people follow through?
But David is saying powerful words. V'yodati, I am fully aware. I know with regard to myself. Let's see Rashi. V'yodati, ato you aviyadati elokai ki ato bochein livav ato bochein akadosh baruch hu. You are bochein. You investigate. Mi sheyesh lo shnei levavos, person has two hearts. Echo l'toyv, echo l'ra. You investigate human beings who have desires, multiple desires. Umeishonim tirtzeh. What do you want, Hashem? Which path do you want? The leiv tov yosher tirtzeh. You want a person who has a heart that's good and it's straight. V'chi ani yodea. Let's see. Sincere. You want sincerity. V'chi ani yodea aino shebi yosher levavi. Sheyosharti litoif, that with the rightness, with the sincerity of my heart, which I have worked to perfect, to guide for good. Period. Litoif. Now Rashi goes on a tangent. He explains. Levavi. Sheyosharti litoif. Levavi lelev echad. Lelev echad. Behisnadavti eskol ele. I have taken my two hearts. My Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, have merged them into one, and after merging them into one heart, Lelev Echad, into one heart, the Yetzer Tov has conquered the Yetzer Hara, and with that good heart, I have donated all of this wealth to the Beis HaMikdash. However, Umin Amcha Shehisnadvu, however, with regard to your nation, who have also given donations, what does that mean, Pishon? What does that mean? So Rashi elaborates. These Rashis, by the way, until the end of the Sefer, are very hard. They're very hard to translate. Pisra. Pishali, with regard to me, ani baki, I am certain, I know for 100% certain, with certainty, that I've given with a full heart. Uvishalachedim, I don't know. Ani yodea. El mashur isi. All I can testify is concerning what I see. Shebesimcha hisnadvu ani aniyoyme. I could just say what I see. I'm saying what I see. They're giving with a great joy. However, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced they're sincere. And therefore, I'm praying to you, Hashem, to make them sincere. Because if they're not going to be sincere, we're going to have problems down the line. V'yata now, amcha hanim tzupari isi b'simcha v'lisadev loch v'loi mari isi ashi chesamchu be'esnatvam. I see they're very happy, they're rejoicing. But the eini yodea, I don't know. It's shocking over here what Rashi over here is saying. But I do not know. In a rotzon libam hoya, if it's really due to real sincerity, kilchsiv v'yismucha malisnatvam. If it's like it appears, the way it appears. Hanim sufo, hanim tzim kan heim haksub lamalu, when it says over hanim sufo, refers to the assembly which is in front of David HaMelech. Vayakal David is called Sari Yisrael Avala. Now he says something also shocking, which is not from obvious from the text,
yeah,
is...
I was just going to say, where's the trigger for this comment?
I don't know. A lot of these comments, a lot of the Rashis from here on into the end, really even for the last couple of parakim, the Rashi been very difficult. Very... Rashi, it's just hard to translate the words. Every few words, you have to put a period, a comma, add interpretation. I don't exactly know.
Maybe it's the word levav, indicating.
But I don't know what he's about to say now. It doesn't seem like it's. It says kan hanimzu po. He's focused on the word po, which indicates that there are a lot of people who have not shown up. A lot more, many more people should have come here for this assembly, and they have not arrived. That means that they're not interested. They don't believe in the cause. There are more important things to use their money for. Aval Ashirei Yisrael Kulam Asher B'chol Ir V'Yerloi Nimsu Po. They're not here. V'Al Kein Riboyne Shaloylam Nismata Hanedava. And that's why we don't have enough money. Although we have accumulated an enormous amount of money, it's not enough. You know why it's not enough? Because not everyone has sent in their check. She'ilu ha'yishor kol yishol kan, if everyone came as they should have, oz hisraba hanedava, the nedava would have been even more. Kepasuk yudches, David then goes on to say, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm critical, I'm suspecting, I'm challenging their sincerity, I don't take it for granted. Shama zos li'olam, better than nothing. Halavai, halavai, this simcha should remain with Klal Yisrael forever. And the zechus of the simcha shall be with us. Shama zos li'olam. Zechor lanu zos. Hanedava. L'mitzvah rabba ulitztaka. Remember this event as a great mitzvah, and it should be a zechus to Klal Yisrael forever that they have come forward to give what they have given. And now David is mispalel. However, with regard to this that I suspect that they're not sincere, please influence them to become sincere. Lietzer, with regard to the desires of machshavos, the thoughts, levav amecha, the double heart of your people, please, the hochein levavam elecha, direct their hearts, synthesize their hearts, merge their Yetzer Tov with their Yetzer Hara, meaning let the Yetzer Tov overcome the Yetzer Hara, ki Yetzer Shnei Levavam, the desire of their two hearts, Machshavaisam, and their thoughts, Letova should be Legood. It should be Legood. Umusav, and Rashi makes it clear, Umusav, this Pasuk, Yetzer Machshavaisam, Umusav hu al ki ata bochein levav v'gomer. It is going back on Pasuk Yud Zayin. The end of Pasuk Yud Ches, the last half of Pasuk Yud Ches, Rashi clarifies, is going back on Pasuk Yud Zayin. I know concerning myself that I'm okay. However, I suspect the people are not okay. And therefore, I'm asking you with regard to the problem that I suspect, for hochein levav milecha, may it be that shnei levavam, their two hearts, sholem, should be become one. Lios leiv echad elecha v'chein tefarish. And that's how you have to learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, so these are very difficult. Rashi, that's the best I can do. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out this Rashi. And that's how it appears Rashi is learning. I know myself that I'm okay. I suspect it's a problem. And I'm being mevakish. Now you listen to your question, but do we have a principle of Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim? When it comes to Bechir Chavshis, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you the opportunity. You have to do it yourself. It's not Shaykh for Hashem to do it. That's why you're here in this world. Everything is Bashert. Whether you're rich or poor, healthy, whatever, so on and so forth. But Yira Shemayim, the decisions you have to make in life to do what's right, that's in your hand. What's David doing now? So the answer to the Bali Muslim, they all say this, is that if you miss part of the bechira of Yira Shemayim, is to pray that Hashem should help you. Right. That if you are mispalo to Hashem, please help me be a Yira Shemayim, then that is all part of your bechira. I'm asking you for help. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you extra dosage of Shiat Deshmaya to make the right decision, even though ordinarily you would not. And you can't say, oh, but that's not called Bechira. It is Bechira because you have expressed your Bechira by being Mispalel for you to have Shiat Deshmaya. So David here is being Mispalel. By him being Mispalel, it's not taking away from the ability of Klal Yisrael to choose well. It's just that Tefillah itself is a form of Bechira to show which direction you want to guide, you want to go in your life. Okay, this is the way Rashi. Now, the Metsudos doesn't seem to learn like this. The Metsudos, you can read this into the Metsudos, but it appears the Metsudos does not necessarily connect Pasuk Yud Ches with Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin, according, let's see with the Metsudos, Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'yodati, I know Ato, you Elokai, Hein Yodati, behold, I know Shaat Boichin Levav Adam Lodas Machshavasoi Broitz Ato Biyosh Levav. You want a person's sincerity. Lachain His Nadavti and Hanadav Hali Biyosh Levav. David just says very simply, I know that Hashem, you want man to be sincere. I'm sincere. I know what you want, and I'm telling you, I'm sincere. Reisi b'simcha, reisi ani asher b'simcha, nadu l'snadiv l'cha imkein gam heima. Look what the Metsudos says. Not like Rashi. Totally not like Rashi. Gam imkein gam heima hisnadu b'yosha levav kimoni. Okay? There's no prayer here. According to the Metsudos, David is saying in Pasuk Yud Zayin, I know that I'm sincere, and from the fact that the people here are rejoicing, look at their face, look how they glow, look how happy they are in giving this money to the Beis Hamikdash, they're just as sincere as me. I am absolutely certain. I don't suspect anything wrong. Totally not like Rashi. Total disagreement with Rashi. So what then? Now the problem is, now that Rashi learns the Pasuk Yud Zayin is a statement that I'm sincere and they're sincere, what in the world is Pasuk Yud Ches saying? What's going on now? Sham rezos liyetsa machshavos levav mecha v'yochein levav melech. What's this all about? Pasuk Yud Ches sham rezos zuchus hanadav. Okay, that's similar. May the zuchus hanadav ahi shamur liolam liyetsa machshavos es peulas machshavos. So according to the Metsudos, it's a continuation of what the zuchus is. What do I want you, Hashem, to guard? Sham rezos liolam. I want you to guard leolam this moment where Klal Yisrael's Yetzer Machshavos Levav Amecha is directed towards you. It's an explanation, according to the Metsudos, it's an explanation of what I want you to guard forever. Es peulas machshavos levav amecha shehoitzel machshavot ritzuya, I want that to be guarded forever. this, that, that their desires are 100% sincere towards you, towards your service. And v'hochein, and then that, I guess the last words, according to Rashi, according to himself, similar to Rashi, it's a b'avakasha, ameitz levavam, strengthen their heart, liponas elecha. I guess these, like, these last three words are also l'chora, a prayer that you should strengthen them. V'hochein levavam elecha. So this is a very important pasuk. We say this every single day during davening, and we have to know what the pshat is. Hashem lokeh Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael avasenu sharma zos li'olam. The big dilemma is when it says the next three words liyetzer machshavos levav amecha. Those four words, is that an explanation of a sharma zos? Is that coming to explain what do I want you to guard, as the Mitzvah says? Or according to Rashi, no, it's going back on Pasuk Yud Zayin, saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, most people are not sincere. Deep down, they have complaints, they have tainus. It's a bakasha. L'yetzer, with regard to the yetzer, machshavos levav amecha, please Hashem, v'hochein levavam elecha, may you direct their hearts to become one towards your service. The Hochein Levavam Elecha, according to Rashi, is coming to explain, is coming to modify, not modify, but coming to elaborate on the words Liyetze Machshavos Levav Amecha, which was expressed back in Pasuk Yud Zayin. According to the Mitzudos, Liyetze Machshavos Levav Amecha is simply going on Shamar Zos. It's a good thing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we make a request of you that you should guard the goodwill of Christ at this moment in time, and you should further strengthen us in the future. Okay, that concludes this little section. Now we go to Pasuk Yutes. Now the David HaMelech goes and he describes, he winds down. He starts talking about his son Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech he gives him a bracha. Who is mispalel to Hashem, and Hashem should give Shlomo the strength. Ulishlomo v'ni, tein levav sholem. May you make his heart one. Lishmar mitzvah, sech to guard your mitzvahs, edosecha, your commandments, v'chukecha, three different types of commandments. There are mitzvahs, there are edosecha, which is also, I don't know the difference between the two. Does the mitzvah explain the difference? Okay, the different types of logical mitzvos which are ben Adam. I think mitzvah secha refers to a mitzvah ben Adam lamakoim, eido secha mitzvos ben Adam lachaveru v'chukecha, mitzvos which have no reason, which paraduma, things which are impossible for man to comprehend, la'asos hakol, do everything properly, v'livnos habira, and to build the base hamigdash asher hachinos, which I prepared. Pasukof, v'yomer David l'chol hakohol. David now addresses Klal Yisrael, and he says to them, Baruch Hu no es Hashem Elokeichem. Bless. He asks Klal Yisrael to bless Hashem. Please, no means please. Please bless Hashem, the God, the Hashem who is Elokeichem, your God. Now Klal Yisrael is a shocking thing, what the Pasuk says. They didn't do what David said to do. It's not exactly the way Rashi learns, but let's read the Pasuk the way it appears at face value. Vayivoruchu kol hakohol laHashem, and the entire assembly blessed Hashem, Elokei avosehem, the God of their forefathers. In other words, they didn't do what David told them to do. David said, I want you to bless your God. And they said, our God, no, you know, he's not really our God. We don't relate to him. We'll bless the God of our fathers, our forefathers. That's not what David told them to do, right? Isn't that what, look at the words. Baruch Hu no es Hashem Elokeichem. Bless your God, Hashem, who is your God. So what do the people do? They don't follow instructions. That's the worst thing I once used to teach. So the biggest problem with students is they don't follow instructions. Our teacher over here is in the back. You give them an assignment, and they do incredible things. Again, we give a computer assignment, teach computers, give a computer assignment. Here are the steps. This is the input, and with this input, I want to see the following output. Very detailed instructions, what exactly to do with the data, and how to present the output. And they do incredible things, tremendous chachma, programming skills. But it's not what I told you to do. You know, follow the instructions. The instructions are Baruch Hu Es Hashem Elokeichem, Vayivaruch Hu Kol HaKohol Hashem to God, Elokei Avoseihem of their forefathers. And then what?
Right.
Yeah.
He uses Hashem Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael
Avoseihem. Okay, that was Pasuk Yud Ches. This is a new parasha. David is now speaking. David is first. The Pasuk Yud Ches is where he's speaking to Hashem. He's giving a general bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Pasuk Chaf, David is speaking directly to Klal Yisrael, and he's making a request of Klal Yisrael. And they don't respond properly. They bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of their forefathers. And then Vayiktu, Vayishtachvu, they bow down. Lashem, then they bow down. LaHashem, Vila Melech. Okay, so Rashi says something that doesn't say in the Pasuk. Look at Rashi. Let's go to Pasuk first with Shlomo, but no, Yishav ben Yitain Lev of Shalem. Let's go back to Pasuk Yitess. Lahachin Levavo to prepare his heart. Levavo Shalem im Emelokav, Lishma Mitzvaysav. David says, since I made all the preparations, it will be very easy for my son Shlomo to actually put the Mikdash to proceed. Pasuk Chaf. Vayomer David l'chol hakol musav al vayakel David es kol sarei baruch hu nos Hashem lokeichem elokei avoseichem loy ne'amar elo elokeichem de mashma v'lo elokei avoseichem l'kach ne'amar baruch hu es Hashem elokeichem your God v'heim amru, and what do they say? Now, I don't know what Rashi's saying here. I don't know what Rashi says here. And they respond elokeinu v'elokei avoseinu. I don't know. It doesn't say that in my text. In my text, it says Vayomer Vayivaruchu Kol HaKohol LaHashem Elokei Avoseihem, not Elokeinu VeElokei Avoseinu. So somehow Rashi is reading the word Elokei LaHashem is a reference to Elokeinu, but it doesn't say that. VeHeimamru Elokeinu VeElokei Avoseinu Ulekach Vayivaruchu Kol HaKohol Elokei Avoseihem. The God of their fathers, mitoch ritzui, loshoin, umachmas kidusha so. I don't know what that means. These are very hard words to translate. According to Rashi, you get the feeling is that they exceeded, they did more. They ritzui, what? Ritzui l'Hashem, ritzui l'Hashem, a goodwill to Hashem, umachmas kidusha so. What do you mean? Due to his holiness, they added more?
Yeah.
From Rashi, you get the impression that not only did they do what they were told to do, they did extra credit. Bonus, they also praised the God of their forefathers. However, that's not what it says in the text. The text does not say that they gave credit, they gave God to their God. Only it says they gave God to the God of their forefathers. Maybe Rashi had different gears. Maybe there's another version of the Pasuk. I don't know. But it's very bizarre. Okay, this also reminds us of what it says in Shiras. Az Yashir, there Hashem Moloch Hashem. We don't say there's an expression that Chazal coined: Hashem Melech Hashem Moloch Hashem Yimloch LiOlam Voed. Hashem is in three different levels: present, past, and the future. In the Shira, what the Klal Yisrael say: Hashem Yimloch LiOlam Voed. The Medrash, I don't remember which Medrash, criticizes Klal Yisrael for saying that. From the three different levels of Moloch, Yimloch, and Melech, Klal Yisrael should have said Hashem Melech now. Saying that Hashem Yimloch, who won the Melech over the entire world, is a cop-out. It's like, I'm not ready for it yet. Amakir HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mitzrayim did in the past, Hashem has done for us incredible things. Unbelievable what happened in Yitzias Mitzrayim. And I know I have Amunah. The day will come. The day will come when there will be Melech HaMashiach and there will be Tchias HaMesim and all these good things are going to happen. But today, I'm busy. I have what to do today. I'm a busy person. I have things I need to do. I don't have time today to recognize that Hashem is the Melech right now. And for that, Klal Yisrael was criticized, and the Geula was delayed because of their lack of awareness. They had a moment of time where they saw the Yad Hashem, they were able to elevate themselves to a spiritual level where they can see that Hashem is Hashem Melech. Hashem is King right now. Not to to take the easy way out. Oh, very good. I recognize what Hashem did for us in Mitzrayim. And nu, and Yirtzeh Hashem, in the future, Hashem Yimloch, in the future, Hashem will be king for us as well. What about the present? What about now? David HaMelech is making very strong demands of Klal Yisrael. If you read the pasuk at face value, not what it says in Rashi. David is telling Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hu No Es Hashem Elokeichem. Give thanks to Hashem, your God, right now. And what do they say? David, you know, we're busy. We really can't come to that level that you demand of us to see the Yad Hashem in our daily lives on a level that you demand from us. We can't. We're sorry, we can't. The best we can do is we can say, blessed be Hashem who is the God of our fathers. In hindsight is 20/20. You look back at your father, your grandfather, great-grandfather, Taka, you can see the Yad Hashem, you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with him every single moment in time. That's wonderful, but that's the easy way out. There are higher standards to see the Yad Hashem now. Now it could be, Klal Yisrael was not necessarily, if you learn the pasuk at face value, it wasn't their fault. They're just being very honest. We're not on that madrega. It's not like David is making demands of them, and Klal Yisrael is saying to David, you know, you're asking too much. You're asking for something that we're not ready for. Hashem Melech now? Okay, of course, we're going to daven 3 times a day, we're going to observe Tayag Mitzvos. But do we really live with the Yad Hashem in front of us? Sorry, David, we're not that madrega. The best that we can do for you is to say he was the God of our forefathers. Okay, so this is, I think, a very interesting point. Rashi is a very strange Rashi. Rashi is saying something that it appears not to say in the pasuk. I don't really know how it fits in. Let's see the mitzvah. I want to tell you something. We'll read for you a Ber Halacha. Fascinating Ber Halacha that's based upon this pasuk. Pasuk Chaf in the Mitzudos David. There is no pasuk Chaf, so we'll finish with that. Okay, then let me read you what it says in the Mitzudos of that, in the Ber Halacha. And Simon Kuf Yud Gimel. Okay, the laws of Tefillah, the laws of Baruch Hu. Dine HaKriyos B'Yudches Brachos. Okay, when we daven Shemona Esrei, we bow down. Why do we bow down? It comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says when you start Shemona Esrei, you have to bow down. You bow down in the first bracha, the beginning of the end. You bow down at the end of the bracha by modim, the beginning of the end, and that's it. And the Gemara talks about a melech, it talks about a kohen gadol. A kohen gadol bows down at the beginning and end of every single bracha, not just at the first bracha and modim. And a melech, he goes down once and doesn't come up. A melech has to humble himself from the beginning of Shemona Esrei to the end of Shemona Esrei. Okay, now why do we bow down during Shemona Esrei? Because we are oimel lefnei melech, derech eretz. When you're standing before the melech, you have to have there. Why do we bow when we recite Baruch Hu? Everyone today, when they got an ali, everyone today, Baruch Hu, after Yishtabach, you all bow down. Why? Where does it say to bow down? Show me the source. Show it to me. Is it a Gemara? Is it a Rishon? It doesn't exist anywhere. There's no Gemara. There's no Rishon. That's Shemona Esrei. You have to bow down all the way until the last vertebrae of the spine also is moved, is also bent, whatever that means. That's during Modim, during the bracha of the bracha of Modim. But what about bowing down when you, after Yishtabach, when the Shat says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavarach. So here in the Mishnah Berurah, HaKoreh B'chol Kama, he's referring to the bowing down during Shemona Esrei, Ayin B'mogein Giborim. Okay, it's a name and safe in Acharin. Shadoichek, he searches high and low. He's hard-pressed. Limso Tam, to find a reason, leminok, the minig of the entire Klal Yisrael, shenohagu ho'olam lechroya bebaruchu ayin sham. He can't find the time. He can't find the source. Ulam be'emes, this is what the Mishnah Berurah says, be'emes, Chavetz Chaim, yesh leminig zeh smach min ha'mikra, bedivrei hayamim, aleph, kapitel chof tes, pasuk chof. What we learned right now. It says, Vayikdu David asked Klal Yisrael, bless, Baruch Hu, bless Hashem. And they respond. They bless how they bless their the God of their forefathers. Vayiktu ha'am vayishtachavu. So when someone tells you to bless Hashem and you respond, you imitate your ancestors who responded by blessing Hashem through bowing. It comes.
You don't do it by the Oshman Esrat, by your Baruch HaKadosh.
That's Shmon Esrei. We're not dealing with Shmon Esrei.
It's also a bracha.
No, you're not instructed to that. And there, you're just there. You're davening Shmon Esrei on your own. This is different. Here, the Shliach Tzibur is giving you instructions. He's making Baruch Es Hashem Hamavarach. He's asking. So Klai is Baruch Hashem Hamavarach. We're going to respond. Baruch Hashem Hamavarach Li'olam V'ed. But why do we bow? Why are you davening Shmon Esrei? That's a personal matter. I'm coming. I'm Oimel Lefnei Hamelech. It's Derech Eretz. It appears this was the way it was done. Lifnei Melech Basar. That when you come before a king and you stand, you make a request, and you first derech eretz is you first relay the praise of the king, then you make the request, and then you give him thanks. Our Shmone Esrei is based upon derech eretz, the way a person will conduct himself when he goes lifnei Melech Basar V'dam.
So,
same thing. You have to bow down. Because there you are instructing, you are acting as a Shliach Tzibur, and you are instructing the entire Tzibur, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavarach. You're asking them. And I guess the assumption is that the same way when the people respond, they respond by bowing down. The one that makes the request also should do the same thing, should bow down. You're supposed to, yes. We learned it. Actually, we learned it. We learned it when we learned the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. What? You're supposed to bow, yes. When you get an aliyah and you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavarach, you're supposed to bow. Yes, when you get an aliyah, you are supposed to bow. When we learn Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, that's the halacha. When you get an aliyah and you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavarach, you are supposed to bow. And when the people in the tzibah respond, they are supposed to bow. Just like you do when you say Baruch Hu after Yishtabach. So the question is, where does this come from? You can't bring a right from the Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei is purely Minog Olam. We don't know what a king is in this day and age. Right, so where did the Gemara make it up from? Where did the Chazal? And where did they actually say, why were they masakin that a person should bow when they say the first Baruch Hu, the end Baruch Hu? Why were they masakin it? Because they had Malchusa, the Ada, so since that's the way it's done in this world, when you oimel lifnei melech, but that's good and far when it comes to oimel lifnei melech for Shmona Esrei. When you oimel lifnei hamelech, when you say Baruch Hu after Yishtabach, you're not oimel lifnei hamelech. You're not on the madreig of Shmona Esrei. You're not oimel lifnei hamelech. That's another issue. That's another mekar. Yiskadal v'yiskadash. I don't know the mekar for that. I don't know. That's another issue. That we're not up to that. Maybe that's part of Baruch Hu. It's a full Baruch Hu. Sounds like Baruch Hu. But let's go one step at a time. But where does it come from? It's not Shmona Esrei. You're not able to find Hamelech. Where does it come from? It comes from this pasuk. The only one actually quotes it. I saw Rav David Cohen. He cites this Ber Halacha, and he has a little more of an elaboration. And he says the Kolbo actually says it. The Kolbo is the one who says this. And you know, it comes from I don't look up the Kolbo. And then he says the Beis Yosef, the Rambam, they'll never quote a Kolbo, never. I don't know. They'll never quote a Kolbo.
They haven't?
I don't know. Chari did. Okay, was it much earlier, Kolbo?
Yes, Kolbo was in 1100.
So why doesn't the Beis Yosef and the Ramah quote a Kolbo? Never. That's what he says. Rav David Cohen says this. So that's why it's not in Shulchan Aruch. You're not going to find it in Shulchan Aruch. This halacha doesn't say this halacha anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. You should bow down when you say Baruch. It's a minhag. A minhag Yisrael. What? Every time you say Baruch Hu, every time, and this so now it's Kedai. You came to it's Kedai just for this alone. It's Kedai. You learn this pasuk. This is the Makar. The Makar. Why we bow down during Baruch Hu? Okay. Now let's go to pasuk. Okay, let's do one more topic. Okay, one very interesting topic. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayizbuchu laHashem zvachim. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Now Klal Yisrael after David HaMelech, David told him to bless Hashem. They blessed Hashem. And now the celebration begins. Let the party begin. The celebration begins. David's about to die. According to one Medrash, David died. and the celebration took place after he died. This now there's a delay. There are different opinions. There are different opinions in the Midrashim, conflicting Midrashim, Mamar Chazal, when exactly this happened. But let's learn very simply. It happened. David, right away, David told him, "Bless Hashem." That's the question. The Gemara says, "Shabbos is actually done on Shabbos, Shavuos." And this celebration, this event, when did it take place? Doesn't say. There's no date here. We don't know when it took place. Maybe it took place before Shabbos, after Shabbos, during that period of time. I don't know. It's not clear. There are different midrashim. Let's put that aside. David told them, "Bless Hashem." They blessed Hashem. David gave this beautiful. Everyone gave donations. David gave a beautiful speech. He made sure that Shlomo should be the king. Everyone accepted him. People were in a very happy mood. David was mispalel. Shlomo was osiolam. The whole story here. Now it's time to celebrate. How do you celebrate? You bring zvachim. What zvachim? Shlomim. What do you do with shlomim? You eat. Shlamim, you give the coin, get a little part of the animal, and most of the animal is eaten by the bolim, part of the fats and the blood is put in the mizbech, and everything is eaten by the coin. In addition to bringing shlamim, what else did they bring? They brought oilos, burnt offerings, which you don't eat. That's not a celebration. When you bring an ola, there's no party, because the whole animal is completely consumed on the mizbech, with the exception of the hide, which is given to the kohanim. You don't get it either. The kohanim get the hide. So you walk out empty-handed. You bring a nice big animal. This shall be an oil or burnt offering to Hashem. They shecht it, kabel adam, duzrika. The basar is completely burnt on the mizbeach, and the hide goes to the kohanim. You don't know from nothing. That's not cause for celebration. But zvachim, they were dealing over here with meat. We're dealing over here with serious business. Good meat. So this is celebration. So yizbichu l'Hashem zvachim. Period. Okay. Celebration. Period. What else did they do? Vayalu oilos. They also offered burnt offerings. Lashem. Now when were all of these offerings offered? So seemingly the word lemacharas hayamahu. I'm not sure if it's going back only on the oilos, or it's going back on everything. The zvachim and the oilos were offered on the next day, the day after David gave them this speech. Why was it a delay? Either it was because because it took a whole day to select the animals. Everyone had to go back home or go to the store to purchase the animals. They couldn't get their act together instantly to bring animals at this moment. It took a whole day. Or David died. After David gave these final, his last will and testament, he died. They were in mourning. They had to bury him, and they mourned for him. And then the next day is when they continue the celebration. Now it's strange, during Shiva they can have a celebration. That's a little bit strange as well. Okay, fine. Vayalu oilos Hashem. L'machros the next day, hayamu, the following day. Parim elef, 1,000 parim. These are the oilos. Elim, rams, elef, 1,000. Kvasim and goat and sheep, elef, 1,000. Klal Yisrael together offered 1,000 parim, 1,000 elim, and 1,000 kvasim. Equal number, not like the Karbonis of the Moadim, where you always have 7 kvasim, pretty much. They can be either 17 or 14 kvasim. Here it's 1, 1, 1. Parichod, Ayelichod, kvasim, neshna, shiva, tamim. Right? It's not like on Rosh Yom Kippur. Rosh Yom Kippur and Shemini Atzeres, you have parichod, Ayelichod. But kvasim, neshna, arba, osar, tamim, you have 14 kvasim. Here, it was 1 par, 1 ayel, and 1 keves. Interesting. 1, 1, 1. 1,000. I mean, it's really not 1, 1, it's 1,000, but the relationship is 1, 1, 1. There must be something to that. V'niskeyem, then they also v'niskeyem, with every carbon you have to bring wine and a minchan wine. Now, here's the part that's difficult. Rashi comes to address, and Rashi has a nice discussion, which we'll just try to do very quickly. Uzvachim l'rov l'chol Yisrael. And they offered an enormous amount of sacrifices, which mean meats, shlamim, which were eaten by Klal Yisrael. Now the problem is, didn't it say that in the beginning of Pesach Chaf Aleph? Why is that repeated? Pesach Chaf Aleph says, Vayizbichu l'Hashem zivachim, period. Then we talk about the oilos. Vayalu oilos l'Hashem l'macharos, hayamahu parim elef, elim elef, kvasim elef, v'niskeim. And then it repeats itself. Uzvachim l'roiv l'chol Yisrael. And let's even go further. Let's go. Vayochlu vayishtu look at Pasuk HaBeis. They ate, they drank, l'fnei Hashem v'yamahu b'simcha g'dolah v'yamlichu shinas l'shom v'den David. That's the next topic. They anointed David. What's going on here? Why is the Pasuk repeating twice they offered zvachim? So Rashi addresses this question, and he quotes an interesting pasuk, which itself is subject to much discussion in Parshas Vayetze, when Lavan chases after Yaakov to retrieve his trophim, and he can't find, and he goes into all the tents. He goes into the tent of Rachel, the tent of Leah, and the tent of the Imos. And the pasuk there is not very clear. Okay, is not clear. Let me read you the pasuk there before we do the Rashi inside. Okay, it's Perik Lamid Aleph, Pasuk Lamid Gimel. Here's the pasuk. Lavan reaches Yaakov. Where am I trafim? Vayavoy Lavan. I'm reading you the pasuk. Vayavoy Lavan. You don't need to see the pasuk. Lavan goes, but oihel Yaakov. Yaakov's tent. Who lived with Yaakov in his tent? Rachel. That's what almost all most of the Rishonim say this. Okay? And then after he goes into the tent of Yaakov, which is the tent of Leah, Uva Oyhel Leah. He then goes in, he looks all for the trophy, he can't find it. He then goes into the tent of Leah. Then he goes into Uva Oyhel Shtei Ho'amohos, Bila and Zilpah. So he went Rachel, Leah, Bila, Zilpah. And then v'loy matza, and then it says vayetzei me'oihel Leah vayavo b'oihel Rachel. What does that mean? If he went first from Rachel to Leah to Bilah and Zilpah, what does it mean now? He's leaving the tent of Leah and he goes into the tent of Rachel. Doesn't make sense. If you would write the pasuk, you would not write it in this order, because he already left the tent of Leah. He left the tent of Leah when he went to the tent of Bilah and went to the tent of Zilpah. So now, what does the pasuk say? Vayetze me'o Leah vayavo b'el Rachel. So there's a Rashi. Now this is one of the more mysterious pasukim in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And a lot of we look in the Rishonim, there are a lot of interpretations. And in fact, I even very recently saw in the Sfarim store, someone published a very nice set which has charts and graphs and pictures for the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and they have a whole section devoted to all of the Rishonim pictures of what exactly Yaakov did when he went from this tent to that tent. What does the Seder Hadvarim? But let's look at Rashi. Rashi in Chumash is seen. The scene now is not the same as Rashi in Divrei Hayomim, which leads us to question who exactly wrote Rashi in Divrei Hayomim. Is it the same Rashi? So we know it's not. But even if it is the same Rashi, it's not necessarily a kash, because Rashi many times contradicts himself. I am panim l'Torah. Rashi here felt that we're going to focus on this interpretation, and there he had another interpretation. So even if it would be the same exact Rashi, it would not be such the end of the world if Rashi would present a different interpretation of the pasuk in two different context, right? That's not, you have in the Gemara many times, Rashi will explain Pshat, and the Gemara, Rashi will say something which is directly, is very different than what he says in Chumash. But what does it say over here in the Chumash in this Pasuk? Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Be'ol Yaakov, Oil Yaakov, Hu Oil Rachel. The oil of Yaakov is the oil of Rachel. Okay, that's a given. Sha Yaakov Tadir Etzla, V'chein Oim B'nei Rachel Eishas Yaakov. So that's a given. Okay, oil Yaakov is oil Rachel. Vayovoi me oil Rachel. So it says here, kishiyotza me oil Leah, chozar lo le oil Rachel, koidem she chipesh be oil huimos. So here Rashi says that we're going backwards. We're going backwards. Let's review. Vayovoi me oil Yaakov. He went into Leah. Then he went to the oil. Uva oihel Leah. After Rachel, he went to Leah. Then it says uva oihel shtei ho'amohos. Then he went to the tent of Bil and Zilpah. V'loy matza. Then when it says vayetze me oihel Leah v'yab oihel Rachel, we're going backwards. The truth is, according to Rashi and Chumash, before he went into the tent of Bilah and Zilpah, he went back to the tent of Rachel. So what's the Seder? Rachel, Leah, Rachel, Bilah, Zilpah. Again, he goes into Rachel, doesn't find it. He goes into Leah. It comes out of Leah, where is it? Let me go back to Rachel. I suspect Rachel really stole it. He goes back to Rachel, doesn't find it in Rachel, then he goes to Bilah and Zilpah. So when the pasuk at the end says, Vayetze me'oil Leah v'yav v'yal Rachel, it's going back to explain what happened in the beginning. He went into Rachel and Leah and the Shteilimos. But you should know that he didn't directly go from Leah to Bilhah v'Zilpah. You should be aware that when he left Leah, he went back before he went to the Shteilimos. Now that really fits in line with what Rashi is going to say now. Rashi is going to tell us a rule that many times in Tanakh, the Pasuk wants to tell us a lot of information and wants to elaborate upon one detail. Before it gives us the elaboration on the detail that it wants to focus on, it will first give us, it will follow through and give us the information that came later. Like in this example here. We want to give a lot of detail about what happened in the tent of Rachel. Rachel, we know, Pasuk says she took the trophim and she lied down on them and she told her father, "Father, I'm sorry I can't rise for you because I'm not well. I'm in need, I don't feel well." And the truth was she was lying on the trophim and she was hiding the trophim. We want to tell you a story. But before we go into the details of the story, what happened when he went into the tent of Rachel, we want to get out of the way the other information, the other details of that he, what happened later on. So it was A, B, C, D. Let's get rid of B, C, D. So now let me tell you the details of what exactly happened with regard to A. And that's exactly what we're doing over here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph we have here, Vayizbuchu Lashem Zvachim, right? They offered Zvachim. There's a lot of information that we want to tell you about the Shlomim. We want to tell you about the Shlomo. We want to tell you that Shlomo HaMelech at this point in time was inaugurated. He was leading the Mishteh, Shlomo HaMelech. There's a lot of detail. But before we go, we tell you what exactly happened about the Zvachim. Let's just patter up. Let's just tell you all the other information that they also brought oilas. They brought oilas Lashem, Parim, Elim, Kvasim, and the Niskeim. And now we're going to go back and tell you what happened with regard to Zvachim Lerov to the very beginning of the Pasuk, like we have the same idea when it came to the tent of Rachel Leah and the Shteimos. Now the only problem is with this parish is that when Rashi is about to tell this right and tell this to us here, he's going to say the same idea but present a different order. And he's going to tell us that Yaakov never went back into the tent of Rachel. Yaakov went to Rachel. Yaakov went first, according to Rashi in Divrei Hayamim, Lavan went first to Leah, then he went to Rachel, then he went to Bilhah and Zilpah. He only went to Rachel once. If he only went to Rachel once, that's what the end of the pasuk explains. He went to the Oyel Vayetzim, Oyel Leah, Vayav, Oyel Rachel. It's not that he was Chayzer, he first went to Rachel. Oh, but the pasuk here says, Vayav, Olav, Oyel Yaakov. That is a point we want to emphasize. That's why the Ramchal says it fits very well into the context over here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. We want here in Parash Vayetze to zoom in and tell you an elaborate story about what happened when Lavan entered the tent of Rachel. So we right away tell you, guess what? He went into the oil of Yaakov, which is the tent of Rachel. And you know what happened there? Rachel was lying down on the trophim hiding them. But before we tell you that, let's just get rid of everything else. By the way, he went Uvoy Haleya, and he went to the Shteyoimos, Vloy Motza. Now, let's get back to the part that I want to tell you. He first went to Leia, he went into Rachel, and he went into Rachel the very first time. This is what happened. It's the same idea. But the Pasuk first begins with what it wants to emphasize, it wants to focus on, then gives you all the other minor details, and then comes back and elaborates upon the main theme. Let's see the words inside of the Rashi, and we'll stop. In abundance. They offered in abundance, an enormous amount of korbanos. Let's see the Rashi, Pasuk, Chaf Aleph, L'machor Sayom, O Sayom, Shol Vaj, Zesh, Diba David, called the Varv, this was the day after the Vat. Ki O Sayom, Lo Hayo Lohem Penai, Ki Shahochu Min Avat, Asku Liknas Behemos, Tzerch HaKabonis, Ad HaLayla, U'lamach Vayizhu L'Hashem Zvachim. The reason why this had to take place on the next day was because they were very busy. That day they needed an entire day to select animals for the Kabonis, so they first began to slaughter the Shlom on the following day. Padim Elef, Kvasim Elef, V'Neskeim, Dugma Elim, Chamisha, Atudim, Chamisha, Shir Echol Kula, different types of animals, and they were all equal. One par, there's 1,000 for each of the different types. When the mikvah wants to tell you about two or three things, maniach harishon, it leaves over the details of the first item, ad l'soif, umfarish acharon miyad, and after it goes through the whole list, then it goes back to number one and elaborates. Dechein, we have the same idea, vayavoy lovon bi'oyhel Yaakov, ad vayavoy bi'oyhel Rachel. Oh, v'aloi kfar nemar, but doesn't the pasuk begin by telling us, vayavoy lovon bi'oyhel Yaakov, and the oil of Yaakov, who is Yoel Rachel? Ella, the answer is, loy matzo, ella, loy matzo, when it says, at the end of the pasuk, that he did not find it, in the tenth, loy matzo, hu musav ahoy mos, ho acharonis, when the pasuk says that he did not find the trough, it's going back on the bull of a zilpa, vishuv mifarish, and then we go back and we elaborate upon what we mentioned in the very beginning. Mifarish arishon, vayetze me'oy helaya techila, the first place Yaakov went, Lavan went, was to Leah. Vayavoy be'oy hel Rachel, me'oy hel Leah holach el oy hel Rachel. Lefi shedvorim achedim tzochlam. The reason why we're doing this is because we want to mention exactly what happened in the tent of Rachel. Rachel was lying on the turf and was hiding and apologized to her father. Kiderich nashim li. Tzochloimar alzev Rachel lochsas a turf and b'shuv ein noifel loimar be'oy hel shtei amos. And once, then that's why we're not going to mention any more the shtei amos afterwards, because we are v'loy lotza hachanam, because we already mentioned that in the past. We already mentioned, we went to Leah, the Shtei Amos, Vloy Matzah. Now we're just going back and repeating what happened in the detail that in the beginning and telling us more elaboration. Hochinam, here as well in the Pasuk Divrei Hayamim, Tzoch Loimar al Zvachim Dvar Machayim, we wanted to tell you the details of the Zvachim, and that's why we tell you about the Zvachim. We then tell you about the Oilos, and then when we return and we emphasize and we focus on what happened with the Zvachim. Okay, we'll stop here.